This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I see something that, you know, men seem to be really trying to get past is mandatory DNA testing on childbirth and things of that nature. Do you think that should be something that should be taken into consideration?
Mandatory DNA testing?
Yeah.
Do you think, are you saying that you think it should happen or?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I believe for sure. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm asking you as a, you know, somebody who.
That protects the man and the woman. We ain't got to play no games. I ain't got to be.
Because I'll give you an example. You know, Jew always tells me these stories about, you know, men having to pay child support for a child that's not biologically theirs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Can you even explain that process as well? Because we hear these stories and we're like, yo, that's kind
of crazy. If you miss your court date and you had a court date to you had to arrive to court and you missed a court date, you are now responsible for that child.
So it's not that cut and dry, because mm-hmm. you know, you still got to put in an order and you could still, you know, speak to judge, try and get a new hearing day. You explain if you had, you know,
you're trying to get a new hearing date on a ticket, it's still a problem.
It still is. However, you know, comparing, you know, that to a child support order is like, that's completely like, that's heavy, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying child traffic ticket isn't, but child support order, that is like, that's binding for a very long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's a termination. So missing a single hearing is not going to, it will reflect poorly on you, right? That doesn't mean that they can't still go and move forward in your absence. But, you know, I don't see that often. A lot of times if, you know, a party misses a court date and it was involuntary, a lot of times the court, especially if they're like pro se, even if they're not, you know, the court is, I don't want to say they're lenient, but the court system is not out to quote unquote get you
mm-hmm.
as it relates to child support. For mandatory DNA testing, I believe in it. I think you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it saves a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time, a lot of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put into words how crazy it is to have a conversation with someone
mm-hmm.
who has found out that a child is not theirs.
Mm.
And, you know, I'll tell you guys, sometimes you will, the party will find out in the craziest way.
But in that situation where a woman knew and you could prove that she knew that the child wasn't his, do you think she should serve some type of ramifications? I don't know what it could be, but. Welcome back to another episode of Daily Wrap-Up Crew. No Booker, but I go by the name of Eli. As always, we got Ace with us.
Yes, indeed. Like and subscribe. That's what we need. And this is where I take charge. I got a good lawyer in the building, but I'm still behind the bars, you heard?
Okay.
Oh, damn. Okay. That was decent.
That was decent, man. Last but not least, we got Jew.
All right, man. I got to do something simple, man. You put me off guard. You know what I'm saying? I got to do some cat in the hat riddles or some shit. What it do? Happy spouse, happy house. And we got a lawyer here, so keep that word divorce out your mouth. You know what I'm saying? So I'm simple right there.
I like where we're going with this, man. That's decent. I ain't going to hold you. Anyway, like they already said, man, we got special guests in the building.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking forward to this episode for like weeks now. Like, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
We got some questions.
Yeah, we got some questions and answers, man. We got an attorney, Mark Bob, in the building. Can you let mm-hmm. the folks know who you are, your credentials, and your firm and all that good stuff?
Yeah, yeah. First, thank y'all for having me.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, my name is Mark Bob from the Bob Law Firm. We handle family, so child support, divorce. We also do business and immigration. I'm licensed in Canada as well as the U.S. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from Toronto, so Guyanese parents. Mm-hmm. So been down here. I'm outside of being an attorney, I'm an adjunct professor of law. I'm also a mediator, and I serve on some city boards. I've been married 6 years, so it's going to be a very interesting conversation. Been married mm-hmm. 6 years mm-hmm. To a beautiful Haitian queen, mm-hmm. also okay. a lawyer.
A Haitian published, queen, okay.
Hey, you know what I say? So also an attorney, published author, and I'm also a member of the oldest and coldest fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm looking forward to a great conversation with y'all.
Right. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Listen, before we get into these conversations, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe if y'all not already subscribed. Mm-hmm. Hit the notification bell, man, because y'all need to stay up to date with all the content that we drop, the exclusive behind the scenes. Y'all got to join the membership for that, man. I'm telling you, we got some good quality content there. And y'all get the episodes early. Like, you know what I mean? We like 8 episodes.
Say it again.
You know what I mean? Like, so we definitely got to, you know what I mean?
You got ad lib in the background.
What happened?
You ain't this nigga ad lib.
Oh, no. That was, I needed that. Like, that's the support right there, man.
So, all
right,
okay, bro.
Well, we need y'all to support us, man. Every Tuesday, we drop the podcast audio. We need y'all to listen to the audio. I know y'all be wanting to listen to the visuals, and that's cool. You know what I mean? But I still need y'all to go and support the audio as well, man. Mm. So getting into this first topic. Is marriage still a viable institution in the modern era? And I know we always hear the statistics, you know, 50% of divorces always marriages end up in divorce. 70% of women usually initiate divorce. It goes even higher when it comes to education and stuff like that. So do you think, you know, obviously with your profession, that marriage is still a viable institution in today's modern society?
So the short answer is it depends, right? You really got to look at what works for you. And you got to look at that you're getting married for the right reasons. So is it still a viable institution? Absolutely. But it all depends on why you're getting married. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times people get married because they've been with this girl, you've been with this guy for X amount of years, and you feel like it's the next step. Mm-hmm. But as a couple, y'all not really there. Mm-hmm. So, but you're doing it just to either appease whether, you know, society that you've been together this long without a ring or... You know, and so you got to look at that, right? And now you're looking at a lot of open marriages. So, you know, they're opening it. Now, are we going to say that it's useful? I don't know. It works for them, right? You have, you know, Teyana Taylor, Iman. Mm-hmm. They've been very open about bringing other people in and not necessarily another partner, but threesomes and other than in the bedroom. So as an institution, I'm going to say I believe in it. Obviously I've been married 6 years, right? But overall, I think, you know, you still have a demographic that still believes in it and still believes what it represents overall. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yes, it is still a viable institution, but results may vary and you got to do what works for you and you got to know your situation.
Right.
Like some people see the red flags and they think that, oh, okay, if I get married, this is going to change. Mm-hmm. You know, she talks you crazy. Okay, a marriage is going to change. It's not.
So you talk about the wrong reasons, like because of society is what you're supposed to do after you've been together for years. What would be the right reasons, in your opinion?
Great question. Both parties being on the same page, mm-hmm. that they both want to take the step. They both feel like it's time and that they're not being forced to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a conversation. You know, when you're getting married, that's a decision that you're making, you know, and you're making that in front of all your loved ones and all that. And so the same effort that you make to plan the wedding, you gotta make that effort to plan the marriage. Mm-hmm. Because the wedding is one day. Marriage is supposed to be for life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when all the hashtags and all the pictures and all that fade, you're in that house with the person you chose and exchange vows with, right? True, right. So... the right reasons would be same morals, same ideals, same goals. You know, you guys have to discuss these things before you get into that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, if it doesn't work out, that's where I come in and we make sure, make sure everything gets
I keep my shit.
I think the only reason I did think about that question is because, you know, when you think about marriage in the traditional sense, or at least back in the biblical days, right, when life, when the average age was probably like 30, like they wasn't really living that long out there. So 30, 40 was a good life. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, for marriage in that time, you know, the woman kind of did need the man for that provision. Obviously, childbirth, women died a lot during childbirth. And then you needed that provider, that protector to, you know, to help with your family, protect them and things of that nature. Nowadays, when you look at modern society, you have a lot of women saying, well, you know, I don't need a man because I could earn my own money, or I could support myself, or like, what value does a man bring to me that I can't already provide myself? So that's why, you know, obviously, when you look at the divorce rates or whatever the case is, I don't think anybody would go into a business, and people always say marriage is a business. I don't think people go into a business, well, this got a 60-80% rate that is going to fail. Most people are like, you know what? Let me not really indulge in that. So that's why I did want to bring that up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. The next topic I did want to get into is, you know, I seen a quote. It said that if you had to build a infidelity machine, right, social media would be the best thing that you could get to it, right?
Right.
So do you think that social media is influencing a lot of divorce rates in today's society?
100%.
Right.
100%. And a lot of that has to do with accessibility. So before, back in the day, you know, if you had... Well, back in the day, there was no social media, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So at most, you had, you know, for the throwback, you had MSN Messenger, you had AIM. You know, you're not doing anything crazy on that. You can't. You know what I mean? And now you have this society with instant gratification where you see a photo, there's, you know, there's a thirst trap or something, and someone's sliding in a DM, you know. And we're also in this era where, I guess we could say a receipts era, right? Mm-hmm. Where everything's a screenshot. So you slide into a DM, she's going to screenshot that. She's adding it to a story. He's adding it to a story. You know, I think that the availability of people and being able to just be that close, you know, it's not like, you know, it's very simple to just pull up someone's IG and send them a message.
Right.
That's very simple. That takes no effort. And, you know, and it's a very slippery slope. And you see too often people get caught up, and infidelity is at a very, very high rate. You know, and, you know, people are developing apps and things like that. But, you know, and we see those, unfortunately, you know, we see the screenshots.
That can be used as evidence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I tell people all the time, don't post anything on social media that you don't want read in a courtroom. You don't want seen in a courtroom.
I'm hacked, Judge.
You know, like when people are talking about their spouse online and they're talking crazy, thinking that, okay, it's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's cool until that's an exhibit. You know, and you got to be very, very careful. And even, you know, to the infidelity, right? Be careful if you're spending money on your side piece. One, you shouldn't have a side piece, right? But, right. You know, to each your own. Yeah. You got to live your life, right? Mm. But if you do, don't spend money on them using your bank cards. Why? Because in a divorce process, you have to exchange financials. So you have to exchange all those statements. Mm-hmm. So they're going to see all your credit card statements, all your bank statements. Mm. I had a case where we represented wife. Mm. She found out her husband was cheating. She thought it was just, he thought we were no longer compatible. We were parting ways. No. We looked at those statements and it was the same formula. It was liquor store, Airbnb, and then a restaurant.
I gotta tell you.
Like clockwork.
That's crazy.
And we read it, we saw it, and I saw it, I said, damn. All right. And I just, you know, you send them to the client so they could look at them as well. I got the call and it was like, Mark, did you see the statements? I said, I did. Did you see the statements? I said, I did. I'm sorry. Because, you know, at the end of the day, infidelity is unfortunate, right?
Definitely.
You know, it hurts. So, you know, there's someone there that's affected, right? And especially when you're seeing, like, because her response was, he never took me to those restaurants. Mm. You know, is what it is, right? But it still sucks. Like, you're literally looking at the infidelity in your face. Like, you're seeing the Airbnbs, you're seeing the restaurants, you're seeing the alcohol. Like, it's tough, but...
Is that adding more fuel to the fire?
Oh, 1,000%. Because before, when they were, like, going to settle, they see that, and they're like, I want everything. Give me everything.
I need restaurant money now.
I need that, right. Cheesecake Factory not going to do. Like, I need, you know what I mean? We need some noble money, right? So the short answer is yes. Social media has absolutely increased.
You definitely dropped the gym. They in the comments like, don't use my credit card. Word. I got to use cryptocurrency. Like, I got to do something else. Like, you know what I mean? So, getting into this next topic, can you like go through the process of, you know, initiation when it comes to divorce and the whole process of how somebody would initiate and then the whole finalization of the divorce? Can you go through that process real quick?
Yeah. So it's gonna vary by the jurisdiction. So, you know, depending on your state, the process may be a little different, but overall, it's still the same. You're starting with your petition for dissolution of marriage, also known as a complaint. And that's where you're saying this marriage is done. Now, depending on the state, they have fault divorces and no fault divorces. So, like, we're here in New York. There are a number of grounds that you can use when you're getting a divorce. You could say cruel punishment. You could say abandonment. But the most common one you'll see is irreconcilable differences or irreversible breakdown of the marriage. So that gets filed. You serve the other party. Now, where you serve them, you know, that depends. You know, some clients have been served at work. Some clients have been served while they're out at a place that they frequent. Others, it's, you know, very calm and they kind of know what's coming, right? After they're served, now you're going into the actual process of the case. And so there may be different things that come up. So let's say there are kids involved. You may need temporary child support because now you're living apart and you need some temporary money. Or you may need temporary spousal support while this is going on. Let's say you didn't work. Or let's say the other party took care of the entire house. Now you need some type of money to live right now. So you're going to try and get some temporary orders. You're going to exchange what's known as discovery, and that's the bank statements I mentioned before, all that good stuff. And then you're going to have a number of hearings. You may go to mediation, try and reach resolution. You may settle. You may settle at any time. You also may be deposed, and that's where, you know, you're under oath and they're asking you questions as if you are in the courtroom. And then if you go to trial, that's where, you know, you're going to figure out everything. Most times you hope for a settlement, you know, because one, it just costs, right? Like divorce is not a cheap process. It is very expensive. It is very invasive. You know, there's a part of privacy that's kind of removed, right? Whereas when someone's looking at your bank statements and seeing what you're spending your money on, there's like a level of like, you know, your privacy is a little bit, you know, tampered with in a way. And so you go through that process. You have the trial. The judge will make their decision. And then that's it. You're officially divorced. You're done. Now, you may have a situation where you get divorced. So they enter a partial judgment, right? They say, okay, you guys still have stuff to deal with the kids, child support, and distributing these assets, but we'll get you guys divorced. So you may have that. You may have a temporary order and, okay, they get divorced and they can go, you know, they're legally single. They can go and move on, you know, if they have someone else or whatever it is, their next step.
Right.
But eventually it will wrap up with the trial and everything will be sorted out. If it gets to that and your time sharing, your custody will be sorted out, who gets what, and then you guys can officially, you know, part ways as far as the case goes.
What would you say is the longest you ever witnessed where a divorce going through the whole process?
3 years.
3 years?
3 years. That's pretty old. 3 years.
In that time, like, can you, like, is stuff reserved for certain people? Like, the wife get this, control of this?
And yeah, so sometimes you kind of have to because it's ongoing, so you have to get some temporary orders in place, like custody, child support, money. You know, sometimes it's, okay, while this case is going, you're paying wife, you know, or wife paying husband $1,500 a month. mm-hmm. and you're paying that spousal support while the case is going on. Gotcha. So sometimes they'll do that, and you'll need to because mm-hmm. the case is going on, you know, mm-hmm. months. You know, I'm of the mindset like, you know, if you don't need to drag it out, don't. Mm-hmm. If we could wrap this up, like, let's get this wrapped up. Like, what are we doing here? But the problem is at the root of family law, divorce, child support, custody, is a lot of anger mm-hmm. and pettiness and bitterness mm-hmm. and frustration. And so something that could wrap up shortly doesn't because one party's mad or they're both mad, you know? And so they've said, we've had cases where they're like, I would rather pay you than give her another dime. Mm. And I'm like, you know, I get that. Like, I get that you're mad, but like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you shared something with this person.
Right.
You know, like, I get it. You're frustrated, but you shared something with this person. And at the end of the day, you guys, let's say you have kids. At the end of the day, you mm-hmm. guys are still parents. Mm. You guys are connected for life. The child is going to have graduations. Child may get married. The child's going to have other life events where they need both parents to be present. The sooner you guys get on the same page and get on the same accord, is the better for you guys personally in the healing process yeah. and your child and your children. Mm. Kids feel the vibes. Like, kids feel energy mm-hmm. when they know something's up with their parents. You know what I mean? So yeah.
I think, you know, just doing research in general about just marriages and divorce, you just run across, like, some crazy facts, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. there was a statistic that I seen that said people who have friends who have gotten a divorce are 75 times more likely to get a divorce themselves, like, you know what I mean? So when that's you start crazy. To deep go into the numbers, it's just you can yeah. always find these statistics that's just like so like, damn, that's crazy, like, you know what I mean? And you know, and you're, I guess, why do you think that percentage increases so much when people are know somebody who has a divorce, or is it just because they're bad mouth in marriage or in that sense? Or
so I firmly believe in iron sharpens iron, right? Mm. And you know, show me your people and I'll tell you who you are. Mm. And the people you keep around you are so important to where you're gonna progress, right? Yeah. So if you hang around four millionaires, you're gonna be the fifth. Yeah. Right. It's only a matter of time, you know. And there's something to be said about being around divorcees and potentially it happening to you, right? When you go through a divorce, you need, or while you're married rather, you need a support system around you. That doesn't mean that everyone around you has to be married, but you need people around you that are speaking life and that support you. Your mm-hmm. team is so important. We can't do this by ourselves. Right. So when you're going through things in your relationship, you know, and this goes from like, even like dating, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From, because you don't just get to marriage overnight. Like, the people you keep around you while you're dating is important because they're going to support you and they're going to show you respect. They're going to show your partner respect.
True.
You know, when they invite you, they're going to invite your partner. It's no longer just you. It's you and them, and they're going to try to be inclusive. And so it's important to have that around you all the way through. Right. And, you know, just because someone is single doesn't mean they don't have valuable advice.
True. Right?
Doesn't mean that they're not knowledgeable. They just might not be married, but they can still tell you about emotions. Mm-hmm. They can still, if they're your friend, they know you. Mm-hmm. And they can still tell you, look, man, I know who you were before this, before you got with her. Stick it out. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. You're frustrated, you know, and it's important to speak life, right? Mm. And so, yeah, if you're around people that no longer see the value in marriage, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen, but when you look at the statistics where it's that high, it's more likely than not that it will.
Right.
And so everyone that you choose around you is extremely important.
Right.
You know, like yeah. I believe like either you're gonna be an asset or a liability.
Yeah.
Yeah, that advice becomes like negative. Like, you know, when you come talk to your friend about what's going on in your marriage, if they have a negative outlook on marriage, it turns from, oh, you should work it out, to, oh yeah, I've been through that. Just let it go. Yeah, you know what I mean? So yeah,
right.
That might be why it's affecting.
That's a good point. You know, so my next question is, how can someone like best prepare for divorce, like just legally and emotionally? Like, what kind of preparation would you suggest?
All right. So legally, if you're at that point where you're gonna get divorced, mm-hmm. Speak to a lawyer because we're going to tell you things that you think you could do, and we're going to let you know, yeah, you can. oh yeah, I'm gonna get divorced. I'm gonna go sell this yacht. Yeah, no, that you can't do that. That's not how this works. So like, you talk to a lawyer, they're gonna let you know there's certain things you can't do. Oh, I'm gonna move this money around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't do all of that. Right. That's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. You know, or oh, I'm gonna just, you know, rip up his collectible jerseys. Don't do that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Like, you know, so legally, I'd say talk with a lawyer. Get your affairs in order. You know, you know, marriage is expensive. You know, and you got to know it's going to affect you financially. I don't care which way you cut it, it's going to affect you financially and emotionally. Now, emotionally, how to prepare. You got to lean on your support group, man. You got to lean on your support system. Whoever your circle is, you got to lean on them. If you got to get a therapist or a counselor, your pastor, whatever it is for you that is going to build you up. And I say that because whether you've been married 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, when you are ending a union, you are closing off a part of your life and you are terminating something that you had built. You know what I mean? And so you need the right people around you to build that up legally. And so now legally, right, going back to that, if you are going to get divorced, you have kids or something, you got to start thinking about arrangements because someone's got to move. Mm-hmm. So now you got to start thinking, well, where are you going to live? You don't want to live somewhere far, because if you're going to have 50-50, the children are going to go to school somewhere. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to get into a war now where you're living in the Bronx, you know, she's out in Queens, or, you know, out in Albany. Let's say she moved to Albany or something, like, where are the kids going to go to school? Because now you're making a decision where the kids got to stay with a parent.
Right. I find it common that, you know, that's like one of the biggest arguments, and the leverage where who has the child usually kind of wins the battle, so they go for the custody. How is that determined usually between the divorce situation?
So when it comes to custody, it is a standard known as the best interest of the child. That's the standard that the court uses.
But that would usually be considered the mother.
Well, no, because so there's a presumption with the law that it is in the best interest of the child to have both parents active in the child's life.
Mm-hmm.
And by active, they mean 50-50. That is what they want. They will deviate from that. Let's say a schedule doesn't work out for a parent, or let's say there are issues, like major issues, you're talking like violence, drugs, those sort of things, like, then they may deviate. And the court can, right? They have theirs. But ideally, you want to go 50-50 and find a school, like a school that's in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they tell you, like, don't go and move somewhere super far.
Mm-hmm.
Because even beyond the school, when you guys have to do exchanges, now how's that going to work? Now you got to, you know, take a major trek to go drop your child off or pick your child up. Like, now you're just making it, now you're making it tough. And then what's going to end up happening is you're going to end up in court again.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're going to file so that the child goes to a school in your area.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then now that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. So I definitely want to get to the family side as well. That was a good question. This is the one that everybody usually is curious about when it comes to divorce. They want to know, you know, what are, in your experiences, you know, what are the reason your clients, you know, initiate divorce proceedings? What are usually the top three reasons? That's what
cheating.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I figured that was on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cheating.
Three different women, right? Like, all three, right?
Who cheating the most?
Oof. So I will say this. Both sides are cheating.
Okay.
Both sides are active, right?
Right.
But in my experience,
mm-hmm.
women have done a better job at masking it.
Mm-hmm. Well, ain't nothing new.
That, you know,
like, we know that.
Women have been, you know, women are notorious for being calculated. You know, yeah. Guys, we know.
They know.
Really calculated, because Jew got a theory, and I gotta agree. Jew, can you reiterate your theory again?
I say that. What you talking about, referring to the cheating?
The cheating. Like, you always say that women are not the cheaters. They just, men don't, you know.
Exactly, because, I believe women are not better cheaters. Men are just better side pieces, to elaborate it in a simpler form.
So you gonna elaborate?
Okay. So, all right. So how I say it is, where a man would sit there and not tell on a woman if he's getting pussy on the side, right? He's not gonna say anything, but where a woman would leverage it, whether she wants to expose you or not, depending on if she's in a relationship or you're in a relationship or not.
No, I'm gonna tell you right now, do not get mixed up. Guys get caught up. Mm. And they get caught up and they blow up the whole thing.
But
side piece, that's it. It's a wrap.
But look, that's the woman that's exposing him, right?
No.
Oh, he's talking about the man.
It happens. It's just not talked about as often. It's common to hear, all right, the woman blew up the spot.
Right.
She hit up the main, the wife, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
Men do it too.
I'm not saying that men don't.
At a high rate, you're saying?
I want to say it's close.
It's close? Man.
It's close.
Really? Okay.
I'm going to call your husband?
Not even that. They're going to make it so that the husband finds out. So it's not necessarily a phone call.
Mm, I get what you're saying.
It's not necessarily a direct phone call, but it's commenting on a photo. It's sliding a DM. It's pulling up where you know she goes.
Mm. I get what you're saying.
So it's not the blatant, like, phone call, sleeping with your wife sort of thing, but it's almost the equivalent.
I'm not saying that men are not oblivious to that, but I could see Jerome pull up 10 times and not even think it's suspicious. You get what I'm saying? Like, I think we're so, like, chilled at times that we just wouldn't pay that no mind, where a woman would be observant enough, like, why she keep smiling at you all of a sudden? You'd be like, I didn't even notice. You know what I'm saying? But it just, I mean, you may be right, but, you know, I mean, I still think that.
I always say, because you do make a valid point, there are some men like that, and I do, but I always say that I think women are just better detectives. We say that all the time. Like, there are men that do go through the phones and go out their way, but on average, a man ain't really got, oh, I got my man's intuition. Let me just, I had a dream. Let me go through her phone.
Intuition.
Like, you know what I mean?
We don't have any intuition. Like,
yeah.
There is no intuition.
I don't know if I would say men have intuition. Ours is a little different.
Right.
We might have, you know,
like a gut feeling, maybe. Like, you know what I mean? I
guess all this,
like,
shit is common sense. That's it. You can tell somebody cheating, acting funny. Right. It ain't because the nigga eating cereal today. Like, it's not that.
But a woman would notice it first, though, for sure.
She would.
There was a case, Shakira. She found out her man was having an affair, her husband having an affair because of the peanut butter. Because he made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And there was jelly in there, but he never made it. He never, like, for all the time they were together, he never did that. Mm. And that little change in his routine set off all the alarms.
That's crazy.
So somebody put him on the jelly?
he had somebody.
The girl like that.
That is crazy.
You eating jelly now, motherfucker?
What you want of this?
So,
what you want
of this? So just to go back to the reason people, you know, initiate divorce, you said, obviously, infidelity.
So, so yes, back to that.
Where we got way over.
cheating. And just a breakdown. Mm. They grow apart, and they're just not connected anymore.
Our finances in there.
Oh, just okay.
It is, right, but it's not prevalent the way that, you know, cheating and the lack of a connection would be.
Got you.
Because all the money in the world doesn't matter if you don't connect with your spouse anymore, and y'all just are not in the same place. But I would say finance is absolutely top three. You know, you saw a lot of people during the pandemic, like, they were together 24/7 now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people lost their jobs too. Like, you know what I mean? So the money coming in,
a lot of factors, you know, when it rains, it pours, everything was a shutdown. And now you're sitting there, no job. And the way your spouse snores annoys you a little bit more than it used to, right? Now you're a little.
When I had that money, you love me.
Now you eating jelly now, you snoring, like, what's going on, right? You aggravated. So, but I would say those are the top three, absolutely.
Got you. So, you know, getting to his next topic is, you know, how do people protect themselves? You know, how important is the prenup and then even a postnup, which I didn't even know was really a thing. Like, you know what I mean? So can you explain both of those and, you know, how important that is prior or
and after? Please let us know if it's like you really safe with that, because I'm hearing so many horror stories of men having that, women having that, and they're still being used against them at the end of the day.
Absolutely. So the prenup is before you get married.
Right.
Postnup is after you get married. Ideally, you want to do the postnup shortly thereafter. So if you get married, you can do a postnup. You try to do one, you know, a month max, you know, a couple months. You don't want to, you can't sign a postnup, you know, a year out, right? Now, as far as it being enforceable, so yes, you see a lot of cases where the prenups are thrown out. There are a number of factors why a prenup could be thrown out.
Emotional distress.
If you're coerced and you sign that under duress, you're pressured. And that's the argument, right? You say, well, I felt pressure to do it. He gave it to me, you know, the day before the wedding. All of our family was here. I felt like I had to do it.
That's the Steven Jackson situation.
And he said he didn't
go to marry. Yep.
Said that was it. And so you have that. And then you also have improper financial disclosure, right? So you don't know everything. And so you're signing a prenup, but you don't really know what is really going on. So you're not able to make an informed decision to sign this because you've left out so many assets.
So and, you could be like, I didn't know he had all that money. So that's why I signed it.
Well, no, because it's a little deeper, but it's more so like you didn't disclose everything. Because when you have a prenup, you're going to disclose. There's a exchange of discovery.
Right.
So if you, let's say, you withhold things, you lie on that. Like, I'm not really entering this fully informed. I don't know everything. You know, you've intentionally left these things out that would have changed how I would have wanted to construct this agreement. Because a prenup is a contract.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At its base, it's a contract. It's a written agreement between the two parties. And you have to have that meeting of the minds where you know everything that you're getting into. If you're leaving those things out, I don't know what I'm getting into fully. You know what I mean? And so you have duress, you have that. And you have where it's you don't know what you're signing. Sometimes people will tell you, like we had a case where he was like, the opposing party said he just gave her the paper, told her it was a prenup, and basically told her what it was. She didn't get a chance to view it, and she signed it. Mm. You know, obviously no lawyer would tell you to sign that, but right. She didn't speak to a lawyer, right? And so now that's a case where you're looking into it, and it's something that you would have to toss, right?
I was told that when you're going and negotiating the prenup agreement, that both parties have to have representation when you're going into this agreement. Is that true?
It is recommended.
Okay.
There are people that sign prenups that don't have a lawyer.
Right.
There are people that sign that have prenups where one side has a lawyer and the other opts not to. Like, they don't care. Like, they're just like, whatever. I'll
but sign. Can they then say anything at the point like, oh, I was stressed out. He forced me.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
she forced me.
Like, how enforceable are prenups and court? How do they hold
up? If they're constructed, you know, to a T, the way that, you know, to a T, you're good. But there are a number of factors, like I mentioned. Like, you know, sometimes people sign a prenup and there's immigration implications if this person doesn't sign it. Oh, they're not going to bring me over to the U.S. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to file my papers. Like, so now they feel pressured, like, I got to sign this. Right. That's an issue. But if you do a prenup, everyone, you know, is lawyered up, you're good, it should be all right. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you know, results vary. You know, everything is different. It could vary. But for the most part, you should be okay. Because you see, there are a lot of prenups that are upheld where people do challenge them. And it is upheld because they can show that none of those factors that would render a prenup need to be set aside, we're there.
Right? So what would you say is the success, like, percentage of prenups in court?
They're actually pretty high. Prenups pretty much hold up. I mean, it's got to be, you got to show a lot.
That's what I'm saying. You got to take a video of them signing.
You got to show.
Make sure, like, it's a sunny day.
But and they do have that, right? Yeah. In the signing process, a lot of times it will be recorded.
Okay.
And they will ask you, are you entering this agreement voluntarily. You had advice of counsel. Yes, you had a chance to review everything. Okay. Correct. Yeah. And they go through those steps, and now you're signing. So now, okay, you want to bring that up? Okay, well, I got this.
I got a video pretty much. Okay.
Who would you say lose more in a divorce?
I think they I think both parties lose, right? No matter what way you cut it, you're ending a marriage, right? So
I hear you.
Each side is going to lose in some way, shape, or form.
That's true. But who's really sad? Because somebody leaving happy and somebody leaving sad. Who's leaving sad and leaving happy?
I've seen signings of agreements, marital settlement agreements, where both parties are sobbing.
Okay.
And it's not that they want to, it's just they had to. You know, and you reach that end of the road where, you know, what are we doing? And So I would say both parties, absolutely. I mean, either way, you know, y'all were married. So there's no way to cut it where it's like, you know, he's losing, right? Because let's say you have one party that's working and the other one's a stay-at-home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all get divorced. Oh, and, you know, and the argument could be, well, he or she, whoever is staying home, is losing because now they don't have that option, right? Yeah, but what's not being told is that party was taking care of the kids. That party was maintaining the household. Mm-hmm. Can't put a price on that.
Mm-hmm. So that's true. Agree.
That party who was out working, making money, they're losing on that. They're losing on that stability in the household. Yeah. It's easy to go out and make money when you know your house is in order. Mm-hmm. When you know that the person taking care of your household or your kids is someone you trust.
Right.
And so that's why I would say, you know,
I agree.
Both parties lose.
Another statistic that
Let me just jump. Now, there are, I will say, a party will win if there are issues like abuse or things like that. Then it's very clear a party does win because, you know, if someone's being subjected to physical abuse, financial abuse, you know, verbal abuse, you know, domestic violence situations.
Is that even more in a scenario where if it's a man getting abused, would it hold the same weight as if a woman was?
Yeah. Abuse is abuse.
Okay.
You know, there's no way you sugarcoat it, right? But I would say, like, in a situation like that, the party who gets out, I would say you absolutely win.
Yeah.
You're not underneath that sort of situation where, you know, you're being devalued and beat down both figuratively and literally, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'll absolutely say that there's a party that definitively wins, without a doubt, you know, because you're getting a second chance at life.
So, again, when I'm looking at these random statistics about divorce, it says that 97% of alimony is paid from men to women, right? So I think that it is, you know, now we live in this era of women, you know, being much more high earning. And, you know, in that case, right, are women reluctant to, you know, kind of have, if they are the breadwinner, do they feel some type of way about paying alimony to their husband? We talk about prenups, you know, women used to be against prenups, but then now when they're the breadwinner, it's like, yo, now your prenup is like, you know, this is the way to go. Like, you know what I mean? So
save your pockets, girl.
Yeah, I mean, look, paying alimony is not easy, right? That's not easy no matter what way you cut it. You have some parties that are okay with it. But for the most part, I mean, I don't want to call it a bill, but it's a bill like every month, right? So I'll say, as far as, you know, the women and men, I think they're both reluctant to want to pay that out.
Mm.
You know, like, it's not something that anyone voluntarily wants to do.
Right.
So I'd probably just call it a push, but, you know, women are out here really making some money right now.
Right.
Mm.
You know, they're really getting that.
Are men more reluctant to accept alimony because they feel like, you know what, damn, that's kind of like a, you know, is it an ego thing? Like, do you see that on your end? Or do they be like, nah, that's good. That's good on me. Like, you
know? I've seen both. Right. I've seen some cats that are like, she's got to give me a check.
Less than a man because she's got to pay
that. I've seen some cats that are like, she's got to give me a check. I need that.
I need that expeditiously.
No, I mean, nights I had to deal with this shit. That bread.
Right. You know, and so, but there is the, I'm going to say the prevailing traditional sense that as a male, you take care, you know, as a man, you take care of your household. And there is that stigma of accepting a check, mm-hmm. right? And accepting a check from your wife or whatever. But, you know, and then you have like same-sex marriages and that sort of thing where, you know, that's also, you know, you're making payments. And but so, you know, alimony is it's a weird thing, but it's like, I don't want to say it's inevitable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because people waive alimony all the time.
Right.
Mm. People get divorced and they say, and these are like high earners. Like you have divorces where it's like two lawyers and they're both like, I don't need this money. Mm. And like, I don't want any money. And there's some people where it's not even that. And they're like, I will waive alimony because I don't want to have any more dealings with this person. When we divorce, I want to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And they might otherwise be entitled to alimony. Yeah. And they're like, nah, I'm good.
Is there a time limit on alimony?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a calculation based on
that's
how long.
That's a good question. I never even thought about that. Like,
yeah, that's a calculation based on how long you've been married.
So it's like an agreement.
A percentage, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a percentage based on how many years you've been married.
Oh, okay.
But
that's so they can have a whole new partner?
No.
Okay.
No. So once you are in a financially supportive relationship or you remarry, alimony will. That's it.
Okay.
So you're not.
But they have to be married, or
no, or you're in a financially supportive.
You. Oh, I mean, I'm getting the
no. That would be
out.
Absolutely crazy.
How do you prove that? Though?
If someone's cutting a check and then they get married and I'm still paying and I'm that's
yeah.
That would be insane.
But how do you prove that the financially supportive relationship? How do you prove that?
Well, so a lot of times you'll ask for a modification. You know, you could ask for a modification. Unless it's like non-modifiable in your agreement, right? Mm. And you file for the modification, then you got to produce financials and you got to exchange those. And now you can see money that's coming in. You got to answer to that. And it's a whole other process.
Would that be the same as, let's say I'm getting alimony from my ex-wife, right? But I'm using the money like for gambling or just spending on women. Is there any way you can refute that, like, oh, he just wasted my money? Like,
I mean, that got nothing to do with
oh no that is, so
you, if I if that's what you choose to spend the alimony on, that's on you.
That's crazy.
That's on you.
You thought it was like child support money. Like, she ain't spending on the child. She just brought a new weave.
Get my bread back
out in Greece.
Listen, I am actually curious. You don't have to answer this question, but have you gotten a prenup or post-nup in your marriage? Yeah.
Nah, when I got married, I ain't had none. It was just, you know, I got married. I was student loans? Prenup? What? My wife
you're trying to set my man's up, man.
I'm curious.
Is she Caribbean? She got the rocks and the sticks waiting back.
When I got married, you know, I had just gotten licensed. Mm-hmm. You know, where we were at, it just, prenup, we weren't even think about none of that, you know.
Okay, but in your situation and how successful you are with all the situation, does it ever make you think like, damn, this world is crazy? Not saying that you think anything negative towards your family, your situation,
right?
But does it ever make you think like, should I or every person should think about this going forward? Like your kids, you would suggest it to them or anything like that?
So the only difference for me is, prior to getting married, so I've known my wife since 06.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to university together.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been tight since 07. So when we got married, like, this is someone who I've known, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
So prenup and those sort of things not even going to cross my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for others, you know, based on your situation, would I suggest that? It's something you got to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about that. You know, if you are a successful man, woman, you know, whatever you identify as, and you're successful in your mm-hmm. right and you're going to get married, that's a conversation you got to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you got to think about. Do you want to protect what you've built, what you have coming in? If you have, you know, if you have money that you want to protect, like, it's something you got to think about. I wouldn't have. Like, for me, it was just, when I got married, it was like, it was natural and it was right.
Mm.
You know, I had been through everything under the sun with my wife. Mm. You know what I mean? And so that didn't even, gotcha. For me, it was like, let's get married and build this together.
Mm.
You know, and
build. You said build? These women ain't trying to hit no build. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a but that is a beautiful thing.
So I said, you know, we're going to build this. And, you know, she went. She became a lawyer as we were married. And you know, it's been good.
Oh, yeah, both lawyers?
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to y'all, man. Yeah. But in a situation where you with somebody and then you become successful during the marriage, is there something that you can do?
Yeah, can you explain the we talked about the prenup, but the postnup. Can you explain that more in detail?
Yeah. So sometimes they didn't, you know, the parties didn't have an opportunity to enter a prenup before they got married. Mm-hmm. But they still want to. Mm-hmm. And so they will just do the postnup, okay, where they will do the same exchange of discovery and all of that. But it has to be within a timely manner. You're not bringing a postnup, you know, a year, 2 years out. Like, that's
you can't do that.
That's just, it just, it defeats the purpose of it, right? Because mm-hmm. the basic premise of it is that you're doing this in a timely manner like you would have a prenup. Mm-hmm. You know, because then if that's the case, then y'all should just enter an agreement. Just sign a contract and say, you know, this money I make from this is separate, which likely will not hold up. But, like, you know.
Oh, it won't hold up?
It's going to be tough. I mean, you could try. You could try.
What would stop it from holding up?
You know, because you're building it within the marriage. So, one, it would be, what's the situation?
Right.
You know, like, if you're telling me, like, what would be, what is the scenario you're thinking?
All right, so let's say, I hit the lotto, right?
Right.
Like 5 years that's into my marriage. He said, don't even continue.
Don't even waste
time. I ain't even, right? Like, just y'all go buy y'all house together and start touring Europe, man. Get some Beyonce tickets and call it a day.
You tried.
All right, one more. What if I'm an inventor, okay, right? And I put something in the works before we got married, and it hit till, you know what I mean, 5 years into marriage.
He talking about our career right now, low key, but I can
see. Let me work.
Right?
Let me work.
I'm invented the podcast.
I'm 5 years into the marriage now.
Right.
It's hitting. I'm a millionaire now. You wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
Wasn't she though?
She wasn't.
It popped 5 years after y'all got married.
Okay.
So she can say,
I've been at this though.
But she could say that she contributed. She could say she helped. Yeah. She could say she supported.
She ain't come up with no topics.
You ain't get us no guests on the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
All I got was that. Oh, that was the show. Like,
listen, you know, going down again, I'm just looking at the statistics, right?
Yeah.
So when I get to same sex, you know, marriages and divorces, you know, lesbian marriages seem to have a even higher divorce rate than, you know, heterosexual marriages. Have you ever represented, you know, same-sex or lesbian couples? And what do they cite their, you know, the initiation of divorce as?
So at its core, right, so the stats that you see, a lot of it has to do with the accessibility and availability. More states have legalized same-sex marriages. So naturally, as you see those numbers increase of people getting married, you're naturally going to see those getting divorced, mm-hmm. right? And so it's not necessarily a troubling issue to say what is going on with same-sex marriages, that the rates have been, you know, super high in the past 2-3 years or something like that. It's more so you're looking at, well, how many more states have legalized it? How many more couples have gotten married? You know, that's what you look at. And as far as citing the reason for divorce, at the end of the day, you know, people are people and you're dealing with individuals, mm-hmm. whether it's a same-sex union or heterosexual. And the same issues that you have in a heterosexual union, you have that in same-sex. Mm-hmm. Infidelity does not discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
Financial issues do not discriminate.
True.
Breakdowns in communication does not discriminate, because at its core, it's two people that have come together in a union.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it relates with the same sex numbers as far as divorce. It's, you know, you got to just look at the kind of the full picture as to how many more are getting married and that sort of thing. But the reasons for divorce, that's across the board. That's going to be the same.
Got you. So, you know, I want to get more into the family court side of situations, because we have seen, crazy stories out there on social media. So I do want to get to this question. Do or does, you know what I mean, for the people people in the back, divorce and family law cases, do they show gender favoritism normally? Because we do hear that on this side that, you know, the judges are just against men or whatever the case is, or they tend to favor the women more in family court or whatever the case is. Have you noticed that in your experience?
So I would say, yeah, I've seen it. You know, you see that, you know, some cases it's pro mom. And you kind of know that going in. Mm-hmm. However, the caveat is this, right? Whether a judge is pro dad or pro mom, if that client doesn't help themselves, it really doesn't matter. Mm. You could have a judge that's pro mom. If that mom is not a good mom, like, it's not gonna make a difference. If she's doing things to harm the child, it's just not going to make a difference, right? But overall, do I see it? I have, unfortunately. You know, that's a tough part of the job where I've seen, like, damn, you know, dad is like really good, but it's just not. But and in the same breath, though, you kind of ensure that you use everything that's available, right? So let's say you feel like there was an issue, then you're going to appeal that. You file an appeal and you're going to get it done. You know, if that's what has to be done, then that's what we do. You know, you got to have the patience and you got to have a lawyer that's going to do what needs to be done. You know, at the end of the day, as a lawyer, your interests are my interests. Mm-hmm. However, the difference is I separate the emotion. I cannot make sound decisions if I'm emotional about it. I have to be level-headed as much as possible to ensure that I can get the best possible result for my client. And if we're in a situation where it may be pro-mom, okay, well, we're going to combat that. Mm. We're going to put together so much that it's overwhelming how active it is. And the reality is this, right? You can be pro-mom, pro-dad, but at the end of the day, the legal standard is the best interest of the child. Mm. The best interest of the child will always prevail. That's what it is. If they have to deviate, they'll let you know why, but that's the foundation. 50-50 with both parents involved. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, why wouldn't you want that? Mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't you want that? And I tell that to, like, parents, right? Like, I get it. You and your baby mom, your baby daddy didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Well, why wouldn't you want your child to have a relationship with the parent? Mm-hmm. Still a parent.
Well, most times, it's men who have to fight to have access to the child.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why that's even a part of reality.
Well, so this is the thing, right? I think access is a major thing, and access to the court system. And so a lot of people don't know the options that are available to them. And it's unfortunate because you have people that are like really taking advantage of the other parent because that other parent doesn't know what's available to them.
Right.
You know, and things, and I'll tell you this, things always change when someone gets lawyered up. Dad gets lawyered up, things change. They're going to change. One way or another, they're going to change. Because now, all those text messages where dad was trying to see his kid, those are exhibits now. Mm. Now we're putting those in our filings, like, that you have tried to alienate the child from its parent. Mm. Can't do that. And it's crazy because, again, family law, a lot of it, unfortunately, is rooted in a lot of anger and frustration and pettiness.
Right. True.
Just because your relationship with the child's father or mother didn't work out, don't take that on the kid.
Right.
Kid didn't ask to be in that situation.
Right.
You guys got to be adults and figure it out. Mm. And a lot of times, you know, and it's unfortunate, what you'll see is, let's say mom and dad break up, right? Mm. They got a kid. Or, you know, mom and mom, dad and dad, you know, all inclusive.
Yeah.
Everything's cool till mom gets a new boyfriend. Dad gets a new girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a whole bunch of issues that come up. Now, like, there's issues with, oh, dad's always late. Time now, dad is 15 minutes late, but he always been 15 minutes late.
Right.
Now it's an issue. Now we're going to court. Right. You know what I mean? And so the more people can put their emotions aside, the better for the kid. You know, you at some point, the child is going to know what parent was wilding out.
Right.
At some point, they'll know.
Yeah.
Is the child ever responsible for the decision they pick? Like, oh, I'm going to ask the child where they want to go.
If the child is of an age and maturity, right, that they understand the proceedings, you know, that doesn't mean that it's going to be the ultimate decision, but they'll absolutely ask, you know.
Yeah, I don't think
The child's interest, at least here in New York, there's an attorney assigned to the child. Mm. So the child has their own attorney.
Oh.
So when you are...
Who paid for that?
That's not expensive. Right, like, I got an attorney. They got an attorney. The child got an attorney. Like, who paid
for that? And that child, like, maintains that child's interest. So when you put together a time-sharing plan or whatever, you'll run that by the...
If you ask my kids today, who would they... You know, God forbid. But if who they would... They wouldn't want to go with me. You get what I'm saying?
Because you're the strict one.
I'm the strict one. So mommy's saying yes, and that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes children wouldn't know what the right answer is. So I don't know if that lawyer is taking what they're saying, or are they looking at both scenarios?
Well, you have to be impartial. So you got to be impartial, but also listen to what's going on, right?
Yeah.
However, you know, keep in mind, though, your kids are going to get to an age where even if you tell them to do something, they're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Tell them, oh, you got to go with mom. Nah, I don't feel like it. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
What are you going to do? Definitely. You can't, like, carry the child and put him in the car and drive. Like, children will reach that age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teenagers, like, they just want to be left alone.
Yeah, that's a fact.
You know what I mean?
So go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I heard you say that everything changes once the father gets lawyered up, right? What if you can't afford a lawyer now? A good lawyer.
Okay, so those are all, I want to say, so you can get a one appointed to you if you can afford one.
Mm-hmm.
That is an option here in the state.
Mm-hmm. What's that, public attorney?
Yeah, you'll get it. But now, make no mistake, like, just because you have a court-appointed attorney doesn't mean that attorney doesn't get busy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's this false misconception that if you get an attorney assigned to you, a court-appointed attorney, or you get a public defender, like, that the representation is less than.
Yeah.
They go hard. Mm. They may go harder than, you know, a high-paying attorney that you're doing, a high-priced attorney. Like, because when you are opting to do that, that is a true choice. Like, you're saying, like, you have the passion for it, and that's what you're going to do. You know what I mean? And so, granted, are they overworked? Yeah, like, their caseloads are crazy. But that's the same as us. Our caseloads are crazy. You know, family law is a volume practice in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? So
I'm glad you said that, because there is that stigma. Like, even when you watch on shows, you get the public a lawyer, attorney, and they just slam the book on the table, and they just let's get this over with, right? Like, you know what I mean? So there's that stigma
Absolutely. Like, listen, one of my good friends, Mary, out in Miami, she is a public defender.
Mm.
She can out-litigate anybody.
Mm.
Gets busy. Like, no questions asked, puts in the work. And she took that position simply because of Black and brown representation, right? And which is why one of the things that I love in being an attorney is because there's not enough of us.
Right.
And especially when you're talking about family law, there are certain things that it's different when I'm dealing with, you know, Black and brown clients.
Right.
It's just inevitable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because we know, there's certain things you don't have to tell me. I know, I get it. Like, you know, and that representation is key, you know, because you want to have that synergy with your lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all want to be on the same page,
right,
and work that. But to answer your question, yeah, they'll appoint one.
Okay.
So how does that work as far as somebody going to file for child support? You know what I mean? Like, so if I'm with a woman, I have a child with her, maybe I'm doing everything in my ability to support my child. But, you know, like you said, I got a new girlfriend. She's jealous. Like, what kind of proof can I show the courts to say that, hey, I am supporting, I have been supporting my child? What measurement safeguards can men take?
Oh, great question. Receipts. If you're buying things for your child, keep receipts for that. You know, a lot, everything now is, and if you're using cash or whatever, keep the receipt, make a copy of it, something, have it. When you're picking up the child, text messages, those are very key, you know. That's important. You want to have documentation, because it's what you can prove.
Right.
You can testify to it, of course, but it's different when you can testify and you have a receipt.
Definitely.
Oh, I paid for the equipment. I have the receipt. I bought this. I took them here. I took them there. And mm-hmm. and those help. They go a long way, a very long way.
Got you. Got you. Has there been any updates in family law and just the divorce, like legislation and stuff like that, to your knowledge?
So that varies across the board based mm-hmm. on what state you're in, right? So like Florida just like overhauled their alimony, how they're going to do that and all that. New York is a very liberal state. It's, you know, very kind of slow as far as movements. The last major overhaul was a while ago. So it hasn't really been anything crazy. The most adjustments you see are going to be like poverty guidelines, minimum wage, when you're calculating child support, that sort of thing.
I see something that, you know, men seem to be really trying to get past is mandatory DNA testing on childbirth and things of that nature. Do you think that should be something that should be taken into consideration?
Mandatory DNA testing?
Yeah.
Do you think, are you saying that you think it should happen or?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I believe for sure. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm asking you as a, you know, somebody who.
That protects the man and the woman. We ain't got to play no games. I ain't got to be.
Because I'll give you an example. You know, Jew always tells me these stories about, you know, men having to pay child support for a child that's not biologically theirs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Can you even explain that process as well? Because we hear these stories and we're like, yo, that's kind
of crazy. If you miss your court date and you had a court date you had to arrive to court and you missed the court date, you are now responsible for that child.
So it's not that cut and dry mm-hmm. because, you know, you still got to put in an order and you could still, you know, speak to judge, try and get a new hearing date. You explain if you had, you know.
You're trying to get a new hearing date on a ticket. It's still a problem.
It still is. However, you know, comparing, you know, that to a child support order is like, that's completely like, that's heavy, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying child traffic ticket isn't, but child support order, that is like, that's binding for a very long time, right? Mm-hmm. Unless there's a termination. So. Missing a single hearing is not going to, it will reflect poorly on you, right? That doesn't mean that they can't still go and move forward in your absence. But, you know, I don't see that often. A lot of times if, you know, a party misses a court date and it was involuntary, a lot of times the court, especially if they're like pro se, even if they're not, you know, the court is, I don't want to say they're lenient, but the court system is not out to, quote unquote, get you mm-hmm. as it relates to child support. For mandatory DNA testing, I believe in it. I think you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it saves a lot of time. Mm-hmm. A lot of time, a lot of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't put into words how crazy it is to have a conversation with someone
mm-hmm.
who has found out that a child is not theirs.
Mm.
And you know, I'll tell you guys, sometimes you will, the party will find out in the craziest way. They'll get in an argument,
mm-hmm.
a bad argument. Mom says, that's why the kid's not yours. And you're like, whoa. Like,
some men are doing prison time for kid child support that kids is not theirs.
You're like, whoa. You know what I mean? And so the thing about that that's tough is it's like, so this argument was what took you to tell me that? Like, you couldn't tell me that before?
So you knew this the whole time.
Yeah, and I think that's a very crazy situation, right? Because now you've affected three lives.
Yeah.
Well, if it provides one kid, right?
Yeah.
The child, the mom, and dad.
Yeah.
You have nurtured, supported, raised the child as yours, and to find out that it's not, like, that is gut-wrenching. Like, you know, that's a tough conversation.
Should there be any... legal ramifications for something like that,
you know, as far as what, like getting the money back for the years.
I don't know what it could be, but I need my money back. Do you think that there should be, because, you know, this goes to another situation which is totally off topic, but you know, we have women who, you know, some women who have accused men of, you know, horrible things, right? And they go to jail for that, and just years later, like, you know what, I lied, and you know, just a slap on the wrist. Do you you know, not to compare those two, because obviously they're two different situations, but in that in a situation where a woman knew and you could prove that she knew that the child wasn't his, do you think she should serve some type of ramifications? I don't know what it could be, but
back pay.
It's you know, you could try and sue her civilly. you know, you could try and sue her. But how, but like if you try and do that, right? How do you quantify receipts. However many years? All them receipts, right? Like
as a lady like, that you know. Wrote a book and they made it into a movie. I can't remember the movie, but her accuser just got released out of prison. And all she said was, and she, I'm sorry.
Yes.
The Lovely Bones. And,
what is it called?
The Lovely Bones.
Yes. Yes.
Boy, I want to get my sister to knock her Lovely Bones. like, bruh, this man went to jail for years.
Listen, crazy. I think
it made millions.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was insane because, like, you basically ruined that man's life. Mm-hmm.
And blatantly. Like, and knew it.
And it was just, I'm sorry. No, that's not, like, I'm sorry doesn't change that, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, mandatory DNA testing. I agree. I think it should happen.
Yeah,
just like you know, let's just cut it out. Let's just get to it because a lot of times people are fighting to be recognized on the birth certificate because they want to have time with their children, and not being on the birth certificate is a hurdle. Mm. That is an issue, and so if you do the mandatory DNA testing, you knock that out. That's it. It's
do
done.
Do you think the courts are preventing that because they get a percentage of the child support from the person rather than having a system where they couldn't get the money? Nah. You get what I'm saying?
Nah, because
a divorce and child support and family law like is a very profitable business. Like, it's like in the billions, basically. Like you know what I mean? So
it's an expensive process. Mm. You know, it's funny because. We had a case where mom was supposed to get, well, this was a divorce. Mom was supposed to get two copies of their key. It was like it was a Benz. It was an older Benz, right? Mm-hmm. Mom was like, oh, he didn't give me the second key. We got to go to court for it. Da, da, da. And I was like, okay, let's break this down. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay me to draft this. Go to court. Argue this. And then it's cheaper for you to just go
and make another key.
Buy a key, right? My philosophy is always just like, if we can avoid, bless. My philosophy is if we can avoid the back and forth, like let's avoid it.
True. Mm-hmm.
And especially when it like family matters with the kids. I I've had clients where I'm like, listen, I get you want me to do this, but like it's money that could go to your kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to like, you know, this money could go to your kid.
Mm. You must be making a lot of money to be turning down.
Yeah, you gonna be advising them, like, you know what I mean?
You ain't got to do this, man. Like, yeah.
My man just got some morals, man. Shout out to you, man.
That's more hours than I'm giving them for, like, you know what I mean? Listen, before we get up out of here, is there any crazy story that you could share with us about maybe one of the clients or maybe a case that your firm has dealt with when it comes to family court or divorce?
Yeah, we actually just we won a federal kidnapping case. Mm. We won that a little while back. Basically, mom was a side chick. Mm. Mom was a side chick, had the kids. The dad was like super possessive, like GPS tracking in her car with like a kill switch. So like he could like shut the car down while she was in the road, like crazy. And she fled to the US with the kids, like crossed the border, all of that. And he was trying to get her back. Well, trying to get the kids back. The kids back. But it was really just to get her back because he just had like this control over her. Mm. And we represented mom and the kids, you know, to keep them here.
Who's he, Pablo Escobar?
chill, my boy. Yo, we don't want no problems.
No apologies.
No issues. Yeah. No problems.
I'll bleep that out. Like,
B-roll.
Mute his mic.
Sorry.
Yeah, and we represented mom to keep the kids here, and we won. Mm-hmm. And the kids were able to stay here, and you know, he could come over here and visit and all that, but it was a real crazy situation. Like, he sent her a photo with all the guns on the bed. Pick one.
Oh, no.
That's crazy.
Like,
I take back the comment.
Crazy, right? Like, that was an insane case. Like, and when you're hearing, like, the mom tell you what she had to do for her kids and like crossing the border and all that, you're like, whoa. You know, it really makes you put things in perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And you realize like, maybe things aren't so bad, right? Like, because you're dealing with like a whole like escaping a country because of an abusive man that like that's has crazy. Put hands on you.
Yeah, yeah.
That I would absolutely say was one of the craziest cases, you know, and we won. So, you know, we take that. So, and then on a lesser scale, we had a crazy case where one of the arguments was moms, the amount of breast milk that mom produces for the kid. So mom, that when dad had the child, he wanted to give the child formula. Mom was against it. But mom did not produce enough breast milk to give to dad when he had to feed the child. Mm-hmm. So it was like this whole back and forth as to how much she produces and how like the time
what
interval.
The baby was gonna do.
You mean like when he had
when he has the child. Oh, yeah. When he has a child. And so it was a whole back and forth as to the interval. She had to drop off the milk and all of that.
Yeah.
And when I told my wife, I told her the story, and she was like, you gotta be joking. Like, there's no way that this is happening right now in your case. Yeah. Every time I come home, I tell her, like, what's going on in this case? She's like, I don't know how you do fast. I don't know how you do it. But I mean, those are some of the issues that we see.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Some pettiness.
Like you are a couple ounces off this breast milk, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, ain't giving it a boost in the same
legit
amount.
Like, legit, that was the argument, like, legit in court, like, that's what they're going back and forth.
Who won?
I don't know if anyone really wins in that, right? you know what I mean? But they were able to reach a resolution. Either way, you're gonna reach one, right? The kid's gonna get older anyways. So, right. Like, what are you gonna do?
Really quickly, you have to play multiple personalities. Sometimes you gotta be good guy, bad guy. Does that affect your mental? As you know, when you have to maybe jump in the shoes as a more aggressive person to approach certain cases, or maybe a softer side. Does that affect your regular day routine or your mental?
No, my regular day routine, no. I would say no, because, you know, you're doing a job and you're trying to protect your client, and you got to be your best self in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that is a level of awareness. You got to be aware. And each client may require something different.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be okay with that. And if you're not, that doesn't have to be your client.
Gotcha.
Like, there's this, like, you know, not every client is for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you guys on this forum, like, not every guest is for you. Like, right. You guys might be like, you know, it's not a good look. And so for me, right. You know, there are cases where we got to get in the court and we got to throw the gloves off. All right, cool. That's what we do. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And there's other times where, you know, you're dealing with a client and you got to let them vent.
Mm-hmm.
You just know that this meeting is them venting. You got to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is just not letting it affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Just separate. You got to be able to compartmentalize. And that's what I've been able to do. But if you got to get busy in the courtroom, then that's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other lawyer knows. It's nothing against them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The lawyers, you know, we know, look, we're going to have to do this. We're going to go to war. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, we'll go grab a buddy. Like, because we don't
show, they be cursing each other out in the room and all this. Like,
but they all know each other.
Yeah, because it's a small world, right? Yeah. So, like, you know, we're not going to be enemies. Like, we're going to go out in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodbath.
Yeah.
Afterwards, okay, let's go get something. Because you have to represent your client the same way I do.
Right.
You're getting paid to do a job. Right. That's to advocate for them and represent their best interests.
Right.
And whatever form that takes, as long as it's ethical, you know, we got to do that. And so if we got to spar, then that's what we'll do.
I got two questions before we get up out of here. What made you want to become a lawyer?
So I got to put that on my older sister. Mm-hmm. She's a VP, Pat. She knew it from when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
So she had always, like, my mom is a nurse, and she had won, being West Indian, right? It's either
doctor
lawyer, engineer, right? Like, right. So Guyanese, my mom was like, oh, you know, you need to go to medical school. And I was like, no. All of that chemistry, that's not for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my sister saw at a very young age, she was like, you know, you should really look into going to law. And I knew from then I wanted to be a lawyer. And I love it because of the vehicle it provides black and brown people and people that look like us. Because mm-hmm. I always just think about when my mom was going through stuff when we were growing up mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. she didn't have no one.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right.
You know, and like you realize like a lot of people don't have a lawyer that they know that looks like them that they could call.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when I actually became a lawyer, it was like, we're here to help us. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean obviously, you know, you'll help others, but like primarily the focus is like us, because who else is going to represent our interests better than someone who knows it?
Okay.
Gotcha. Our struggles are different. Definitely. No matter what way you cut it, like, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was why I wanted to be a lawyer and why I continue being a lawyer, because our job is to help people who might not have known these options were available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a lot of people who don't know yeah. that they could see their kids with some hearings and, you know, we draft what we need to.
Yeah.
And you know, you got a lot of people in divorces like that don't know I'm entitled to this amount of money,
right?
Or this asset, or you know, he told me I couldn't get anything,
yeah.
Or she told me she was gonna take me for everything I'm worth. No, that's not how it works. And you know, you tell them, and they're like, oh, okay, you know. And I like being the you know the legal mind for my friends. You know, they hit me and they're like, Mark, tell me what's going on. Yeah. You know, so
my last question: do you watch Suits?
Yeah, man, I watched it when it was on originally,
yeah.
and they dropped on Netflix, and yeah, like it's going the crazy. Whole surge is going crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like Big Bro over there cheesing the lights. Like, yeah,
I just finished season 8, man.
No, it's a good show. It's a good show. I'll say Suits is a good legal show.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
The only thing you always got to fight is like some of these legal shows make people think that like these things happen in like a day.
Yeah.
You know, like Mike and Harvey are like doing a merger and acquisition for some Fortune 500 company in a day.
Yeah.
And the smoking gun is some folder, right? No, that's not, you know.
Yeah.
But as long as you're, but that's a good program. That's one of the good ones.
Okay. Yo, again, man, we appreciate you for pulling up.
Absolutely.
Remember, I was telling you earlier how important it was for us to find somebody that looked like us to have these conversations.
That's definitely.
Yeah. And I'm glad I was able to find you. Again, let the audience know where they can find you. And hopefully, you know, we don't ever end up in your offices. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but I mean,
there might be people here.
I'm about to call you for some legal advice.
We need you to set up the prenup. Set up the prenup.
I feel the prenup. Feel one, but like, you know, you let me know. If you want to find me, my number is office number 866-994-2622. Mm-hmm. Instagram at the Bob Law Firm. Personal at Mark W. Bobby SQ, and do what it do. Hopefully you guys never need my service, but if you guys have a friend that does,
send him.
You know, always be closing, right? Yeah. So
being like, Mark, man,
hey,
I'm here, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
thank you guys for having me.
Or once you hear Mark in the Mark,
that's how the call starts. There's always like this long pause, like, Mark, hey, yeah, what's up, man? Hey. You there? What'd you do now?
Man, she tripping, man.
Okay. I got you.
Yo, man, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Make sure y'all hit that like button, subscribe if y'all haven't already subscribed. Comment y'all favorite parts in down below. If y'all got any questions, yo, put them in the comments. We can forward them right to Mark and get some answers for you. Join the membership.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. What
are you saying?
Join the membership, man. That's the best way to support us. Yeah. Also, hit us with a super chat, man, on YouTube. They got the option to super chat us.
Hit the motherfucking merch.
Cop the merch, man. Mm-hmm. DailyRapRecruit.co. Cop the merch, man. Cool. All of these little things, I know we keep reiterating it, but it really helps us out a lot.
It's important, man.
And it helps us continue this show, man. So appreciate
facts.
It,